But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
That's it is what it is. It's January and it's snowing and all that good stuff. So please be safe out there. All right. We need to clean some things up on aisle three as we try and do each and every day. I hope Matt's okay with it. Is anyone really asked? What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, so the Capitals will be back in action tomorrow afternoon. Quick turnaround, noon Eastern time, ABC, the national coverage against the New York Rangers, who have struggled a little bit the first half of this year. But before we get there, we look back quickly at last night's shootout overtime loss to the Minnesota Wild, 4-2-3. Now, first of all, the Wild, a good team, as we mentioned yesterday. Now 24-11-4. And they're 14-3-3 away from Minneapolis-St. Paul. So not a surprise. However, they were without a couple of their key players. And that's what made last night somewhat disappointing. Kirill Kaprizov, their best player, was out. Their captain was out. So that's the disappointing part. To lose 4-3, shootout, listen, it happens, for God's sakes. I mean, we all know the nature of shootouts. Again, the Capitals gave up just the one goal, but they didn't have any answers offensively. And perhaps maybe they were kind of sort of deflated from this. It looked like at one point the Capitals were going to take a 4-2 lead in the third period on a Tom Wilson deflected goal, but, and I think correctly, it was ruled that he touched the puck above the crossbar. On video replay, it was confirmed, or so the NHL says. The call and the initial call on the ice, which was emphatic, and that took a goal off the board for the Capitals, which again would have made it, at that point, it would have made it 4-2. And right away, and right after that, Marco Rossi scored his 15th goal of the year to retie up the game at 3-3. So again, the Capitals went from thinking they may have had a 4-2 lead, and now right away after that, maybe 30 seconds after that, after the review is done, at 11:19 of the third period, boom, Rossi scores, and it's 3-3. Now, you go back to the Minnesota second goal of the game, and this is kind of where the game was really lost, if I'm being honest. Somebody named Yakov Trenin scored a shorthanded goal. How did they score a shorthanded goal? Because Charlie Lindgren butchered one behind his net. Only way to say it. I mean, Charlie was, you know, good, solid, very good at times. But gave up the one goal in overtime or in the shootout. And more importantly, that second goal, yeesh, which gave Minnesota a 2-1 lead. I mean, if you're going to make mistakes like that, you know, sometimes they're going to come back and haunt you. And Minnesota, again, even without a couple of their key guys, still pretty damn good. Still pretty damn good. All right. Wanted to spend a minute or so on that. Tonight, we mentioned a lot of sports, actually. And we have it covered for you. So we'll whip around real quickly here. over on 106.7 The Fan. Again, pregame starts at 5:30. Kickoff, 7:30. For the Virginia Tech Hokies, 6-6 against Minnesota at 7-5 in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Now, listen, one of the interesting things about this game is, you know, when you have a team that's trying to get over 500, that knows that their quarterback is coming back next year and knows that they also have a promising other quarterback, and you're 10-point dogs, you've got a lot of meat dangling in front of you, right? Now, Minnesota has won 7 bowl games in a row. But Virginia Tech has something to play for here. Again, they're 10-point dogs. They had the 500. They have a little bit of momentum. A little bit of momentum. A little bit of hope after a disappointing up-and-down year. I think Virginia Tech can hang in there and give Minnesota a pretty damn good ball game here. I mean, you have Kyren Jones. Pop Watson, in case something happens to Drones. You've got Bijan Tuten. You've got APR, pass rush. Again, you beat Virginia last time out. Granted, in Blacksburg, 37-17. Minnesota's not great by any stretch, but in their last game, they beat Wisconsin at Camp Randall, impressively 24-7. Again, Minnesota should win this game, but I think Virginia Tech hangs in there. And I think this is a one-possession game down to the end, and maybe Virginia Tech can pull it out. But I definitely think they cover, for whatever that's worth. So that's the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And, well, the one other thing that I forgot to mention, Virginia Tech's had all sorts of departures from their team and some big defensive backs and all that, which makes me a little bit worried. But they're getting Bud Foster back. Bud Foster is going to maintain be a part of the coaching staff again moving forward, says Brent Pry. Not as the defensive coordinator, but the longtime defensive coordinator and very well-respected Bud Foster is now back with Virginia Tech in kind of an unspecified defensive advisory role, for whatever that's worth. We'll see. Again, game 7:30 on the 106.7 The Fan. And the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, over here on the Team 980, we have the Wizards in New Orleans. And listen, normally this game wouldn't get you exactly all lathered up, but the Pelicans are 5-29. The Wizards have played better of late. They beat the Bulls the other night. They hung in there, at least for one of the two against the Knicks, extended them into overtime, beat the Hornets a week, 8 days ago. The Wizards are 6-25. They can win this game. The Pelicans stink. Obviously, all sorts of injuries for the Pels. Zion Williamson is out. Brandon Ingram is out. You know, who knows what the mental state, if you will, of the Pelicans is from everything that they're dealing with down in New Orleans. Their last time out, they lost at Miami on New Year's Day, 119-108. They've lost, have the Pelicans, they have lost 11 in a row. My bad. I was looking at the wrong number. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. So certainly a great opportunity for the Wizards tonight. Georgetown and Xavier, again, you can catch that one. Bloomberg 99.1. Hey, listen, we don't talk about Georgetown a whole lot, but they have certainly played better in year two under Ed Cooley. You know, I have no idea what to expect crowd-wise tonight with the snow and all that stuff. You know, it's Friday night, kind of a late-ish start. But I'll watch some of that as I'm bouncing around between the Virginia Tech game, the Wizards, and a little Friday Night Smackdown. I think 3 hours of Friday Night Smackdown tonight on old USA. So I got a lot going on. But that does it for Cleanup on aisle 3.
Cleanup in aisle 3.